I just wouldn't make it.
Oh, there'd be a live show.
There would be a Planet FPL live. Hello patrons, happy Monday, it's Q&A. James is getting himself set, so I thought I'd share the story with you. I just bought two boxes of Kipling Halloween. You know French fancies, James, are coated in icing and then they've got a little bit of cream in the middle of the cake.
No.
Some bright orange Halloween special, reduced in Tesco.
Did you eat all two boxes to yourself?
No, I bought two boxes for the office. I ate one of the 16
Very
cakes
kind.
There. They're reduced, mate. But this is my new guilty...
pizzas last week, cakes this week. What's going on?
My new guilty pleasure is whenever I go to the supermarket now, I go straight to the reduced section. Love it. See what's on offer.
Can you just admit to everyone, I don't know if we've ever told this before, but you know, like when you get your meal deal, you have to get the maximum amount of your meal deal.
Yes, but also...
The biggest drink, the biggest yeah, snack, the biggest sandwich.
The thing is, coconut water happens to be the most expensive, and then
you don't even like it, do you? You just buy it because
it's good. But then that's not always true because I like an egg and cress sandwich, and they're cheap. But Q&A, which is so much more fun than the bloody stupid boring podcast, we have to talk about football. So let's get into it. Lewis James is a message for Suj. I apologise for my slightly heat-of-the-moment questions last week. Please accept this apology. Firstly, Lewis, you don't need to apologise if you really feel like you should. I accept it. But I think those kind of heat-of-the-moment reactions are fine. Like, there's things that are a matter of opinion. And sometimes, yes, your opinion might be hugely biased, but they're fine. Right? I can... be annoyed about the fact that I think maybe the first goal shouldn't have stood if I really wanted to, fine. But then there's other things where you can have a heated outburst, which is not okay, as highlighted by Ivan Tony sharing on Twitter,
yes.
That kind of stuff. So there's a line on what you can have an outburst about. And, you know, wanting your team to win and being a little bit biased about certain things or upset is fine. You just don't go OTT.
I think it's natural for everybody to be biased towards their team, whether they're right or wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Lewis James also says, I don't think I've seen it answered anywhere, but why didn't Almiron get booked for jumping into the crowd to get the Paraguay flag after his goal, but Paulinho did for Fulham against Forest, which led to his fifth booking, and then he missed the Newcastle game?
He's being biased again, isn't he?
But these are the
trivial shit that annoys people.
Yeah. And you're like, come on, even it out.
The only thing I could think different between the two situations is that the Paulinho celebration, because it was away from home, was perhaps inciting maybe a little bit of a rush towards the front, whereas Almiron like takes a flag off a fan. It's not. There's not a rush happening towards him or anything. That's the only thing I can think. Should both be yellow cards? Yes. Well, it shouldn't be that one is and one isn't.
Jarvo, do you remember Danny Welbeck's granddad, Stan?
Yeah, I didn't get what this was all about. Do you get it now?
Yes.
I still don't.
Bomb disposal expert, Stan Welbeck.
Oh, okay. Brilliant.
Good
yeah.
one. FPL dilemma.
Stan Welbeck.
From FPL Hall of Fame. He's got an FPL dilemma. Following Madison's yellow... And this was on the 11th, so it was before the fifth yellow, it was the fourth yellow. Do I go to Bruno this week or roll, field 9, and then get Saka for game week 13? Oh, this is edited. Right, okay. Sorry, the question was originally asked on the 11th, and I just saw the brackets edited. So it's been asked after.
Okay.
So, do I go to Bruno Guimaraes this week or roll field 9 and then get Saka for 13? I prefer the Saka option. But am I neglecting game week 12? If so,
I think Bruno is a very reasonable
get.
Just check on the team news that he's all right, because obviously he was taken off in the last 10 minutes or so yesterday, which feels a little bit unusual. He was given the dreaded cross on SofaScore. Not that I trust what SofaScore are saying, but just check that out first. Is he worth getting? again, I feel like it's another one. If it's for a hit, probably not. If it's part of a chain move for one game week, yeah, cool.
Alan Seabright, which three Manchester City players do you think are the ideal trio for FPL?
Cancelo, Foden and Haaland.
I would agree. And it will change also. I think there'll be periods where you might want KDB.
Oh, yeah, but I don't think that will change before the World Cup.
No. Before the World Cup, right now, I think those are the three. Ian Harrison. Also, that a budget save on Foden, KDB to Foden, might mean you can get Kane or Salah to go with those three.
Yes.
So, Ian Harrison. Sky FF question. Yes, Kane. I like Sky FF.
You're right into it at the moment, aren't you? Well, I didn't even send you a reminder yesterday because I saw you were in Slack yapping on about what you were doing and what you weren't doing.
I thought I need to get better at Slack, so I'm trying.
It's nice to see you in Slack.
I told my wife that if I win £50,000, I'm going to use it all on one thing. I'm going to buy a place in Portugal, James.
I told my wife that if I won £50,000, I wouldn't tell her.
Yeah, that's very true. I want to move Nico Williams to Lewis Dunk, but is it worth doing before the Friday game? This was pre-last week.
Yes.
I already own Raya for captaincy. I hope you captained him. I don't think it gives me an extra fixture, but Williams seems to be on the bench these days. Well, he wasn't at the weekend, was he?
Or he's got injured, yeah.
If I did get Dunk, who would you captain, Dunk or Raya? Many thanks. Well, hindsight, Raya, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, look, I got Webster in on Friday night, and I still stayed with Tony, captain.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's done now, whatever you've done there, Ian. So I hope it worked out for you. FPL cricketer, who buys Vrataskelia next summer and how much do you reckon he'll cost? Vrataskelia. I think West Ham should, because now that I've learned to pronounce his name, I'll be quite good in Tottenham. Vrataskelia.
Going to say Manchester City, 60 million.
You reckon?
Why not?
No, obviously they can buy anyone they want. Because they're financially doping, aren't
they? He's got Grealish traits.
Okay.
And if Jack Grealish was to move on, that's actually a natural replacement.
Jarvo, what are your thoughts on these mystery football shirt companies that are all over Twitter when you pay for a shirt at a discounted price and then receive a random one? Have you ever ordered one? And if not, would you? I like the idea of the Jeopardy and also getting a unique football shirt from a random overseas team.
And not for myself. Perhaps as a prize or something if we were doing it. Yeah, sure. But
I just, I don't really wear football shirts as a rule. Hardly ever. And yeah, I don't know.
Would I want to wear someone else's shirt for?
There are some that are
some,
nice.
Some people obviously collect shirts,
yeah,
right?
It's cool. And it's good.
It's just not for me.
Yeah, yeah. Me neither. But yeah, like I think what you said, there's
Jamie Roberts, he's got about 50 or 100 or so, hasn't he?
Loads.
Yeah.
David Beaton, could Fulham... dot, dot, dot.
Oh, I know what that is.
Challenge for top four.
No, that's fucking... Do you remember last year when Rangers kept winning in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, it wouldn't beat Fulham. I think I said something like that. And obviously, they got destroyed by Liverpool last week, didn't they?
Again.
So, would Fulham lose 7-1 to Liverpool? No, they drew 2-2 of them in game week one.
Adam English, thoughts on atmosphere at Spurs recently, James? Seen stuff on the Bird app about how poor it's been and sort of have to say it was quite flat on Wednesday night versus Frankfurt being there myself.
Yeah, again, ticket pricing not helping. Stadium wasn't fully sold out. I mean, we're talking about, you know, 2,000-3,000 empty seats or so, which isn't even obvious on the television because they're up the top on the side and stuff, expensive seats. Fixtures haven't helped in the sense that we haven't had a big opponent as yet at home. So not overly concerned. There are things that are going on in the background, people trying to work on. I know there's a TIFO display planned for the Sporting Lisbon game next week. TIFO.
The YouTube channel.
No, I mean, TIFO is a YouTube channel. The TIFO is, the hold up the cards and all that kind of stuff. There is a TIFO YouTube channel as well. I guess that maybe
that's
why
it's called when
TIFO.
They hold cards up, TIFO? Or are they the company that make the cards or something?
No, that's what people call them in Europe. TIFO displays.
Okay, I didn't know. A new thing.
You've actually got me questioning if that's correct now. And THFC Flags been organising like flags to go in the ground and stuff. So it's a work in progress. We're still new to the stadium, I think. I have no major concerns. Like, you look back to Arsenal in May, you wouldn't have concerns about the atmosphere about that. So I think opponent circumstance quite early in the season, cost for Champions League games has been a problem. Yes, the atmosphere on Wednesday wasn't great.
Yeah, we only had 40,000 in against Anderlecht.
It's completely understandable.
£35 a ticket. Anyway, Jarvo, do you prefer to arrive at
those empty seat tickets in the Champions League are over £70?
Yeah, it's crazy. Do you prefer to arrive at your ground an hour before kickoff or arrive just in time to take your seat for kickoff? If everything goes to plan, what is your ideal pre-home game routine? I don't like rushing.
No.
I don't like rushing. And especially if I take the kids, I want to be there at least 45 minutes before. I want to be through security. My first relax. Once I've got through security, I feel like, all right, cool. Now it's easy enough to get through, get in the ground and all that. But yeah, I'm not an hour before, but at least I want to be inside the ground half an hour before. And I like to be seated 15, 20 minutes before. I like to just see the end of the warm-up and all that. And normally they're just nonsense going on before the game. They'll have one interview with someone or whatever. But yeah, I don't like to be rushed at all.
The ideal one for me is normally get a train that's an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff. I normally get to White Lane train station as the team's being announced. Literally check the team as I'm getting off the train. Walk around the ground. I'm in 45 minutes before kickoff. Have a pint. Seat 10 minutes before kickoff.
With the kids, I'm never a pint. But Ribman's
I don't like going in the ground last minute. The days of back in the day, I used to like leave the pub at like 2:45, 2:50 and go in the ground. Those days are gone. Plus, you can have a decent pint in the ground now in better, more comfortable surroundings than the pub, to be honest.
Yep. Dan L, has there ever been a bigger regression than Bruno Fernandes at United? Delhi at Spurs, maybe?
Oh, Bruno's not at that stage. We're not looking at Bruno and saying, take him out the Man United team or anything like that.
No. I mean, Greg strolled him pretty hard the other week.
Can I feed back on him after Wednesday night?
Sure. Greg, did you see the Greg's thing when they did the comparing Premier League footballers to items on the Greg's menu?
What did they give Bruno?
Well, there was all sorts of good ones, James. Like Jack Grealish was the pink jammy donut. Like, indulgent and whatever, but you know, not good for you. Bruno Fernandes was the Christmas bake, good for 2 weeks of the year. You only see it for 2 weeks of the year. That was pretty hard trolling from Greg's. Yeah, look, he's not a bad player. I think he's been shit since Ronaldo.
Nico, should Bruno Fernandes be in the Portugal team?
You don't.
Okay, interesting.
Addy, if the Premier League only had one UK broadcaster, would they help the teams in Europe out more?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't have an opinion. I'm going to say James' word for it. Sure.
No, I mean, there's things like I spoke about this on one of the streams on Friday. So do you know why Villa Chelsea was 2 o'clock yesterday?
Because they didn't want Amazon to have Chelsea for Tuesday night?
Correct.
Yeah.
So Sky's picking a game that they're not even bothered about.
Yeah.
When you've got Man United, Newcastle, Leeds, Arsenal, the same time. So it's not like you're short of selections. They put Chelsea on Sunday just to make sure that Amazon couldn't have a Big Six team. It wasn't just not have Chelsea. It ruled them out of having a Big Six team on the Tuesday night. So the idea, to use that as an example, the idea that Chelsea have played Tuesday in the Champions League, 5 day break Sunday, now I've got to play Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. It's not right. Same is going to happen to Tottenham from next Sunday as well. So no, we should not be in a circumstance where our teams who are in the Champions League are playing on a Sunday before playing in the Champions League on a Wednesday. Completely unnecessary. Should be playing on a Saturday. It will not happen anywhere else around Europe.
I was watching a 3 p.m. game that I shouldn't have been, probably a 2 p.m. game that I shouldn't have been yesterday anyway. But when I saw on an app that the Leeds Arsenal game something was going on. It said incident on SofaScore.
So the power cut.
Yeah, so I didn't know what it was. It just said incident. Went to Twitter. I couldn't find anything. Switched to Sky. I realised, oh, yes, Villa Chelsea on Sky, isn't it? Not Leeds Arsenal. But with my magic fire stick.
Should have spoken about it. It was loads of people looking for a postponement. Yeah. Sitting there like with Gaye on the bench and Mitrovic on the bench. And
but they played 23 seconds, so you'd have just got your one pointer, I reckon.
Nah, abandoned nothing.
Let's see. Shifo, if you combine Wolves defence with Leicester attack, where would they finish in the table?
If you combine Wolves defence with Leicester attack, where would they finish in the table? It's a good question. Who's manager?
Nuno Espirito.
It's got to be Brendan Rodgers at the moment, hasn't it?
Mm. Well, Wolves haven't got a manager. 11th.
I would say if Brendan Rodgers managed Wolves defence and Leicester attack, it'd be in a very similar position to what it's in now. As in Leicester and Wolves.
Relegation zone. Mm. Jarvo, if you could relive a 10-year period in your life again, when would you choose and why? 20 to 30.
That's tough because by association, I instantly want to do that with Tottenham. So I think 09, the 09-10 season was the first year we finished fourth. Take me up to the Champions League final in 2019. That sounds quite good. But then, like, work life was pretty fucking shit for the first half of that. So I don't know if I would.
It depends whether you're reliving it. So you don't have to relive it in its exact same. Are we saying that, like, you can go back to the start of it and then relive it with your current knowledge? Or are we saying that you just have to go through it all as it was, exactly the same again?
I'd still go through that, I think, 09.
Probably 20 to 30, but Jarvo,
it's definitely, if I could go back to sort of like 2002, there's definitely worse things I would have done.
Clarify the question, please, Jarvo. If we're going back to the start of that 10-year period, are we able to relive it knowing what we know now, or do we have to relive it exactly as it was? And then we'll re-answer it. Mickey Race, would you rather a player score a hat-trick in your FPL team or your Sky Fantasy Football team? You don't have the same player for both. Sky Fantasy Football all day long.
You don't have the same player for both.
Yeah, you got a player, you can pick him to score a hat trick. Would it be someone from your Sky team?
You don't own him in both games.
No.
Depends, because if it's, say, Haaland, I don't think it makes a particular difference for either.
If he scores a hat trick in your FPL team and you don't have him in Sky,
if it's just a bog,
he's hurt you like hell in Sky.
Let's just take Mitrovic as a bog standard example. Like, I'm probably going to get Mitrovic in to captain on Sky Thursday night. Would I rather he get the captaincy for Sky or FPL? Sky by miles.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Me too.
Yeah.
I bought Salah yesterday. I'd been happy if he hauled. And I'm not going to get him in FPL. And even when we did the main pod this morning, we're going through, we're talking about certain players. And like Scamacca, there's very little chance I'm going to get him in FPL. Salah, there's more chance now that I might get him in FPL, but there wasn't really much thought about FPL. Someone like Rodri, again, 8 points again yesterday. I'm never going to get him in FPL. I feel the joy from the Sky points way more than the FPL.
It's also
points.
Worth more.
50,000
pounds. If you take that, Mitch Fisher as an example, you say he gets a hat trick against Villa in FPL. 3 fours is 12, appearance points 2, 3 bonus, 17. In Sky, you're getting 5 times 3. Plus the 2 appearance, plus shot tier 2, 20.
Yeah.
Get more points as well.
Mickey Race, would you... Oh, no, that was that same question. Alex Cerner, if you had to bet now, who's your 3 for relegation? Oh, Forest.
Southampton.
Really?
Yeah. At the moment, yeah.
Do you know...
I think that's it's potentially very changeable.
Do you know, the last 15 minutes, but they bought... they made the like quadruple substitution towards the end, and they brought in a few kids. Ezebe or something, what's his name?
Oh, Fan Dabby Dozy.
I tell you,
you mean a
Dozy,
yeah.
And that, and honestly, they are some talented kids there.
Yes, absolutely.
When I looked at them, I was like, you know what, you'll have no problem coming back out of the championship next year because there's some good players in there, but they're just kids, right?
Well, they'll lose a few. Lavia get bought straight away. Chelsea tried to buy him, you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
Before he'd even put his shirt on. It's mad.
I still think that Bournemouth are in a nice position at the moment in the sense that the team's quite settled. They do not have the squad depth. They are also, Suj, did you know, I didn't realise this till after we'd done the podcast. Not only have they not lost since they lost 9-0 at Liverpool, they're the only Premier League team that hasn't lost.
Oh, it hasn't lost.
Since they lost 9-0 at Liverpool. Every other Premier League team's lost a game except Bournemouth. So they've got the longest unbeaten record in the league. I still think Bournemouth.
I think Wolves could go, but let's see. Oh, shit, I fucked up the Wolves channel. No, we agreed. Going to be hating on me.
We agreed on that we don't think Wolves will go down.
Where are the goals going to come from, though?
Whoever they fucking buy in January.
True. JC, I think...
They've only got to survive now, like, what, another six games or so?
Yeah, it's true.
Seven games.
Yeah.
If they can just... Even if they can get sort of 7-8 points in those and then get a proper forward in January, then, okay. Yeah.
With no City or Arsenal and now no Maddison in the week, would you recommend to anyone to take a minus rather than free hit to get active players this week? Or is it too risky with some of the fixtures being tricky and unpredictable?
I think it's circumstantial, right? Yeah. So were you looking to move Maddison on like I was going to anyway? Not this week, but in 13 he was going to go for me. Are you happy potentially to keep the player that you're getting in if necessary, if that's what it comes to, i.e. Zaha most likely in my circumstance? So, yes. But on the... I think the problem is if you're just judging it on one game, like if I had to get 5+ points from Zaha on Tuesday and that was definitively it, definitely he's 100% going at the weekend, arguably I wouldn't bother.
Lewis James has 7 players for game week 12. Includes Bowen, Harrison Reed, and Tony. So 7.
There's nothing wrong with having Tony against Chelsea.
We've got 6 players that are Arsenal and City. So that takes you up to 13. You must have Maddison takes you to 14. I don't know who his 15th player is. 7 players. Bowen, Reed, Tony. I have 2 free transfers.
Yeah.
But still thinking free hit might be better as I can retain City and Arsenal and field a strong 11 without taking hits for players I don't. I only want for this week.
No, I wouldn't free hit. I'd arguably make 3 transfers there for a -4. If you're making 3, if you're coming in with 2 threes, it'll almost feel justifiable. Even if it means you remove Harrison Reed, for example.
Yep. Danielle, do you think you might do some patron content on the EFL, maybe during the World Cup? There are quite a lot of patrons who are fans of some of those clubs, me included. I think it'd be interesting to get a perspective of supporting teams lower down the ladder. I think the more work we can get the patrons to do, the better. So, sure.
That one again. No, fuck you all. Yes, probably. I mean, the Championship will restart before the Premier League as well.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah. One to think about. Danielle, what ground that you never visited would you want to go to?
Hillsborough.
Anfield. Danielle, what's the most enjoyable thing about having the pod and the worst thing?
The best thing or the worst thing?
Best and worst.
Best enjoyment, chatting about football all day. Worst, when I have nights like last night and I'm trying to research games that I haven't watched and I feel like I want to go to sleep. And you know that it psychologically it's not going to make... No one's going to notice a huge difference whether I research in depth Manchester United against Newcastle or not, because most other people haven't watched it either.
And as soon as you see it's a 0-0, you're like, skip.
I never feel I've got enough time.
The best thing is the positive feedback, I would say. Like when people message you and say, you know, that was really good, or more than just like
when people like pods and retweet the tweet with the main podcast and shit. Yeah.
But it's more like the general, I really appreciate what you do and the work that goes. And that is definitely the best thing about it. The worst thing, James, is the women.
Excuse me?
I thought when we'd start, you know, getting popular, there'd be women, but there's none. We don't. No one slides into my DMs, James. I thought celebrity status would bring all of that. No, not really. The worst.
I definitely shouldn't have got married.
Well, the pod was going to be your...
Just realised we'd done, what, season one, I think, when I got married. Maybe if it'd been four seasons in, I wouldn't have bothered.
Nah. Yeah, I think there are times when for me, interest wanes. There are times where I'm more interested than not. It actually doesn't really correlate to when I'm doing well or not. It's more just, I don't know what it is, to be honest. Maybe I need to think about it a little bit more. Sometimes you're kind of not that bothered. But yeah, about the football I'm talking about. Chris Tellers, with there being just 5 weeks to go until the start of the World Cup, and given the fact that there's already a few key players set to miss out on it due to injuries, do you think there's a likelihood that we'll soon start to see a change in behaviour of players during club games as a precaution, backing out of challenges to avoid injuries, missing out on games due to injuries and illness, that kind of thing? I asked you this a little while ago.
Yeah, and I think the reality is when you start I got taught this as a kid, the second you start pulling out of challenges, when you
you're more likely to get hurt.
Exactly that. So, yeah. I think at the top level, these players, the majority of them have got too much at stake with their clubs and stuff to be like that. I don't think we'd be at a stage of a season where, I think going into summer tournaments, you've got teams who are mid-table and it doesn't matter, really. This stage of a season, you know, could Ruben Neves, for example, sorry, it's just a name that came in my head, could he start going, I want to play for Portugal in the summer? Or, you know, I'm not bothered what happens to Wolves in the next month. Like, that's not going to happen. So, I'm sure the players are becoming very, very conscious of it. And particularly, you've seen, Jota got injured yesterday. Richarlison got injured Saturday. There are obviously going to be some cases like that, unfortunately. And I'm sure the closer it gets, the more conscious players will be about it. Do I think we'll be able to see a noticeable difference? No, not at all.
Sam O'Sullivan, would you go for a Leicester Castagne brackets or Everton defender as a Williams replacement? Spend up to 4.9.
Good question. And the reason it's a good question is Everton have a brilliant set of four fixtures after this weekend. So someone like a Cody offers really great cover, but not so good this week. You'd rather have the Leicester player than the Everton player this week. And I think that probably factors into the thinking. So, and I think, as discussed earlier, I'd gamble the extra 0.1 on Castagne. Their fixtures aren't bad either, bar the Manchester City fixture. They're not great either. Their best fixture that they've got left is this week.
Sam O'Sullivan, would it be better for any club contemplating a change of manager, Saints, Villa, he identifies as two that potentially could, to wait until the World Cup break? With a 7-week gap, it feels the perfect time to make a change if necessary.
No. It does in some cases, but I think this is a typical narrative, spin it either way, because what you could also do is you could say, well, if a manager comes in now, he's got 4 games to properly assess the squad, then there's a break and you can make proper plans for a transfer window, etc. Whereas you come in during the break, you haven't got a lot before the window opens to make a proper assessment of the squad. So actually, no, in most cases, you'd be better off coming in now, assessing the squad properly for the 4 games or so, then sitting down, revising and working a plan from there. So in most cases, no. If a change is going to happen, if Villa, for example, know that they're going to make a change, just make a change.
Agreed. Sam Howard, what are your thoughts on Loftus-Cheek as a late runner for the England squad?
I think that players like him and Joe Gomez have more chance than Harvey Elliott's.
Conor Gallagher.
Because... No, Gallagher I'd put more in the Loftus-Cheek bracket. Those players have more chance because Southgate has seen them and knows and can go back. You know, Loftus-Cheek was in the 2018 World Cup squad, for example. So I think when we did the pod a couple of weeks ago, we kind of said, look, he's got this group of, what did he take, 29, 30 names in the last squad that, other than one or two that had missed out because of injury, like Jordan Pickford, for example, it was going to be from that group. If the problem is bad enough, like let's say we do have no, Reece James looks like he's out now, right? There's a doubt about Kyle Walker. If something happens to Trent, all of a sudden we've gone from four brilliant right backs to one. So, okay, what's the solution? Okay, well, Trippier plays every game. Okay, well, right-sided centre-back's now a problem. Do you look at someone like Joe Gomez, who could cover both, certainly not as a wing-back, but could cover at right-back in a four or as right-sided centre-back? Does he suddenly get the favouritism because Southgate knows his capabilities? I think yes. What I don't see him doing is calling up someone who has not been called up. So, like, even James Maddison, who I don't think will get back in, he has been in Southgate squads. Southgate has seen him in training. He does know enough about him. So he's not completely out the running. I don't see... It's the ones like Harvey Elliott who are only going to get in a mass crisis. And even still, I think, yes, Southgate would more likely go back to a Ruben Loftus-Cheek, who, in fairness, has also shown himself to have more flexibility in terms of position. And we'd realised he's done a bit of covering for Chelsea at right wing back. That would be ironic, wouldn't it? All these right backs, we end up playing Ruben fucking Loftus-Cheek at right wing back in the summer or in the winter even.
Lewis James, will Newcastle ever be able to field Callum Wilson, Isak and Saint-Maximin in the same team?
Yes, I'm sure probably. Isak apparently has had a setback. Weird, isn't it?
John Jacobson, being cheeky, if Arsenal win the league, will it be a greater accomplishment than Leicester winning it?
No. No. No, of course not. That's not to downplay Arsenal's achievement if they do it, but no, it can't be.
Harry G, thoughts on treatment and scrutiny of officials in today's game? I thought the way Klopp got in the face of the linesman was a disgrace. The standard officiating may be low, but the constant criticism and aggression towards officials feeds down to grassroots and leaves a shortage of refs. Recently, a ref was recently assaulted in a Sunday League game, as an example. John also says, how can you make the job as a ref more appealing to make more kids want to become a ref?
Mono.
I don't like the way that, you know, the sarcastic clapping of a decision and all that kind of stuff. You're like, how old are you, Guardiola?
I mean, he does seem
They do a little bit of it for the cameras now as well. I feel like they know that they're being watched.
He just loses his fucking mind every time he goes to Anfield, I think. He turns into a different human being. He gets affected, his players get affected, it's a knock-on impact, the supporters get affected. That starts from the visual in front. Yes, Jurgen Klopp went way too far yesterday and can have no complaints about whatever comes next, be it a touchline ban or whatever. I spoke about games and the way they're being refereed earlier, so I won't repeat that. How do we get more people involved at the bottom level? Well, they have to see the career path, I think. You have to see the path. It has to be something rather than just, oh yeah, do a game, get 20, 30 quid or whatever it is. Or,
yeah,
you know, it's not bad work for a couple of hours, right? But then factor in, you might have to do travelling within that. And you know, is it worth it? No. I think you need to be very, very thick-skinned. How do you police Sunday league football when, other than a referee, you haven't got anybody else there to deal with
everything?
I mean, bottom line is, you know, if you take, say, racial abuse as an example, that can happen in front of 100,000 people. It can happen in front of one person, right? So I don't know the answer in terms of grassroots refereeing and how we get more people involved. The long-held belief is, right, get players back involved. But as I've said in the past, why, as a footballer who's been on 50 grand a week, when I want to become a referee and earn that in a year's salary and now get dogs abuse? That is not. So if we want the best, I guess we have to, people say they don't deserve to be paid more, but there's a huge disparity now between the officials and the players. And I'm not saying that's incorrect, but there's no reason for someone who's been involved with football to become a referee.
Football Adam, best one game week punt in every position for those wildcarding in 13. So I'm assuming this is for the game week 13 wildcard.
1 week punt in every position.
Oh, yeah. So this is pre-wild card. So this is for this week, midweek.
This week
fixtures.
Only.
Yeah.
I mean, how can I call Nick Pope a punt? I can't. I still think that's the best goalkeeper this week is Nick Pope. Sanchez, maybe. Defensively, Andy Robertson. Mm-hmm. Or Trent, if you're feeling fruity enough.
Yeah.
Midfield, I think it probably is Trossard. Mitoma's out. That's good news for Trossard tomorrow in terms of potential rotation. Although De Zerbi has said Adam Lallana will start. My guess is that would be for one of the central players. Up front, Callum Wilson.
Shifo, have you ever lost the bet? Sorry, John said, is it worth getting Trossard in for a -4 if you intend on transferring him out in game week 13?
I think it's no.
Yeah. Shifo, have you ever lost a bet and didn't do the dare? I had a bet with my Arsenal friend in front of the whole group that if Arsenal won the league, I would walk naked into the pub. I think there is a chance of that happening. Any ideas what to do than pray for someone else to win the league? I think if you've ever made a bet or a statement that if this happens, I will do this, that involves getting naked, and then you get one goal away from it actually happening, you learn that you probably shouldn't make those kind of statements.
Is that right, Sage?
Eddie and Ketcher, hello. Like, once you've done it once, and then you think, actually, you know what? That was a bit too close for comfort, Eddie and Ketcher. There's only one goal off, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So then
this is why we don't bet.
Don't do it.
Nate, listen, if Arsenal win the league, you've got to get your dick out, mate. Simple as that.
Is this happening in Cairo? He's in Egypt somewhere, Cairo. We'll do a Planet FPL meetup in Cairo, he's going to turn up.
What, he can't get his dick out in Cairo? Like.
No, I'm just saying, we will host a Planet FPL meetup in the pub at the same time that he's honouring his bet.
And what, we're paying him as a stripper?
No, he lost the bet. There's no money involved now. You're doing it for nothing. If Arsenal win
the league. Stop promising that we're going to do podcasts in Africa.
Shifo, I think you're probably safe. Probably. Rob Pick, do you agree with Pep's comments post-game that the referee speaks to the managers before the game and says he's going to let the game flow, not give lots of little fouls, then he shouldn't be using VAR to overturn the goal for a little foul? I saw him say that if the referee had been giving those kind of fouls all game, then it's a foul. Should the decision mirror the way the referee has refereed the rest of the match? You've already answered that on the main show, James. You think yes?
Yeah, I've not got a lot more to add to that other than yes, that goal and the Martinelli goal at Old Trafford. You are refereeing the game differently to how you're refereeing the game.
Mm. Rob Pick, second question on the same game.
It has to be on the foul for the goal that was disallowed. There were many worse fouls in that game that were not
blown.
I mean, the Bernardo Silva foul on Salah, where Klopp goes mental, it really takes some believing.
Yeah. Rob Pick, second question on the same game. Has there ever been a better personification of ball greedy bastard than Nunez on the breakaway? I mean, players do it all the time.
Oh, that was bad though.
Yeah, I get it. But sometimes the vision just isn't there.
There's no way he doesn't see it.
He's taking a shot.
There's no way because he's actually even running at the angle. Salah, even if you just got a glare of the colour, there's no way you couldn't see it. Impossible. So yeah, really bad.
I think those do frustrate. There was one in our game where Skamaka got the ball and he played it into, he put a cross in for Paqueta and he headed it and it hit the post. But he just played a simple square ball and Bowen's then unmarked and would finish it. And you're just like, the ball is there. Like just sideways, simple pass. Why are you trying to cross it and stick it on his head? Other side of two defenders. They really fucking get. Those are so annoying when the pass is so obvious. But in the moment, maybe don't think like that.
There's no excuse I can give Nunez yesterday.
That's bad. I get it. On a scale of one to bad. FPL Maldini, another, is it worth a -4, James? Robertson. Otherwise, he's playing Perisic or Bailey. Play Perisic.
Yeah, and Bailey.
Rob Pick, which player for midweek do you actually think are worth a transfer in rather than rolling and holding the value of the transfer for midweek for the weekend? Salah.
Liverpool players, I think you have to look at it and think, is there an opportunity right now to get the likes of Trent and Robertson for this final running. See, that one's a bit different to, say, the Trossard example earlier. Take Robertson. You get Robertson, you ain't transferring it. What you're chaining it to in the next, you ain't. You're keeping him. You've made that choice. So it's over a longer period. Trossard, you're looking at with Man City away afterwards and going, oh, shit, I want to move that straight on. That's the difference between the two. So you can make more of a case to go Robertson and say, okay, this is me for the 5 weeks. I'm going for it. So I think Liverpool players are the ones people should consider. In my case, like, do I think it's worth a hit to get Robertson in this week specifically in place of Emerson? No. I do have a body there. Would I think it would be worth it over Perisic? No. But are Liverpool players worth buying in this week? Yes. I would make the case for Newcastle players as well.
Pillows Pen wants a midfielder for one game week. Mount or Trossard? It's kind of indicating.
Trossard.
Hollis Stamos, would you sacrifice Harry Kane to get Salah in? No. Kane's what? 8 goals, 3 assists or something, isn't he?
No.
He has 8 goals.
No, I mean, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He's returned either. In every game since game week one.
5 goals in a row. 5 games he scored in a row.
And he's never got the 6. But also last week he'd never got the 5.
Matt Bryant, would you move out Perisic for a -4 this week? It's got KDB and Madison and 2 free transfers and they feel more urgent.
Say that again.
Would you move out Perisic for a -4?
No.
Agreed. Brad, what are your thoughts on the Feyenoord captain refusing to wear an armband with a rainbow on it? He cited religious beliefs as his reason. The Excelsior captain also refused to do it and instead had the word respect written times on the armband. He said, I think we should respect everyone, even those with a slightly different view.
I mean, one, that's the first I'm hearing of this story. Two, I think clubs would maybe want to look if those people should be their captain.
Yep.
You have to, I mean, could you imagine if Harry refused?
Yeah, there'd be outrage.
Fucking hell, mate.
There'd be outrage.
Look, you don't have to... by not wearing it, that doesn't make you necessarily like homophobic or necessarily, but I don't know why you wouldn't just do it. Like, do you feel that strongly that you wouldn't wear it?
I think people need to understand that you're not the captain. He's not wearing it to show his opinion or his belief. He's doing it to highlight equality or lack of discrimination as a bigger thing. I think he probably is looking at it and saying, if I wear this, then I am saying that I think this.
That's it, yeah. That's how I think people think.
It's not a personal opinion. It's a movement, so to speak. I'm surprised that they would then keep him as captain, but different parts of the world have different levels of tolerance for this kind of stuff, right?
Yes.
It's difficult.
Although I wouldn't think that Holland would be one of them.
No, it's crazy. Like, I remember being in Amsterdam when it was Pride weekend.
Yeah.
Like the second biggest party in Amsterdam after the King's weekend. I should go to Amsterdam soon. I ain't been for ages. Damn. Gary Mantle, Planet FPL Live, Amsterdam, coming soon.
I'm never going back, mate. I'm never going.
Oh, okay. there won't be a live show. We would have never been able to. We would never make a live. If we went to Amsterdam, there would never be a live show. We just wouldn't make it.
There'd be a live show.
There wouldn't be a Planet FPL live. It wouldn't happen. Gary Mantle, will you or your kids be collecting Panini stickers for the World Cup? No. That's a racket if ever there was one.
I look back on it and I can't remember. There's definitely a couple where my mum used to buy me the stickers and stuff. I remember once in an office, she just told the guy at the counter, just give me the box.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many packs were in there.
20 quid.
Probably. But the cost of them now, I wouldn't even know what it costs. So sod that.
Who knows? How much are Panini stickers? Someone let us know. Oscar says, James, did you ever watch the away day YouTube videos about Spurs, which was two guys following Spurs away from home with a guy narrating the trip? They stopped years ago, though. No, I didn't.
No, I don't know if that's the Tottenham TV boys. I don't know. Maybe.
Was there a YouTube channel, was there?
But I'm not convinced I know who that is.
It probably still exists on YouTube.
Probably, yeah.
Right, a packet of stickers. £45 for what? Panini, this is on Argos, the Panini FIFA World Cup
sticker box.
Collection, 50 pack. So £45 for a 50 packs of stickers. So it's just under £1 a pack, James. But who's going to spend 45 quid on them?
It's mad, isn't it?
It doesn't tell you how many stickers you get in each pack either.
But it's about 6 or something, probably.
Crap. Okay, that's all the questions that we had in on Slack. Thank you, patrons, for your questions. Appreciate them. You know where to go if you want to send in questions. Pod Questions is the channel, and we'll be back here this time next week to answer them as well.
Maybe wait till Friday.
After the round of fixtures, you mean?
At least, yeah. There's a lot of football this midweek.
Fine. Yeah, if you want to do that. And if it's not got anything to do with football at all, then just whack it in anytime, any place. Stay safe. Ciao for now. Diff show for you tomorrow, people.
Thanks, patrons. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.